So I wish all of you a very, very good morning. It is very inspiring to see you, and it even gives health to the soul and health to the body to see such nice Vaishnavas who are really trying, not trying, who are entering deeper dimensions in their spiritual relationship. I must say, these retreats, they teach, of course, about the holy name, but there's something much deeper than just instructions on the holy name or chanting more. What we are looking for as participants in a Japa and Kirtan retreat is not skills and techniques, but we are looking for a somewhat lost relationship. We are looking to activate our relationship to Krishna. That is what we are looking for, really. And if we can touch, even for a moment, eternity, or in other words, if we can touch for a moment this eternal relationship, then our Japa retreat is successful. There is a bridge which we have to cross if we want to touch this moment of eternity or this relationship. It's the bridge of faith. This morning we will touch this bridge, hopefully, or we will talk about this. In preparing for this presentation, I had looked at a verse at the Bhagavad Gita, so I will only for today break the tradition and not do a Bhagavatam verse, but a Gita verse, which some devotees refer to, thank you, as the faith verse.
Aprabhyamang nivatante.
sangsaravatmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Positively speaking, Krishna here says that you need faith if you want to go on the path of eternal life. Prabhupada, the faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purpose of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is a most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. Now Prabhupada quotes a verse from the Bhagavatam, which is an analogy or an illustration of this first definition he gave, that faith means that conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. He gives the example of watering the roots of a tree. When you do this, all the branches, twigs, leaves, fruits are automatically receiving water. So when you water your faith, when you invest in the roots of your faith, then you do this. The roots of your tree of life is faith. Huh? By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs and leaves, and by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living beings. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly means immediately, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Listen for the conclusion. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is called faith. It's a long purport, certainly most inspiring to read on faith, and I encourage you to do so. So let us now look at some aspects of faith we will give a lecture where we will cover these 3 points. You need a ticket to enter the palace of bhakti, 2 resting places of faith, and then the birthplace of faith. Where does it come from? Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimadabhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyari Shatharine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna.
So the verse makes the point that really the most important factor in our process of devotional service is faith. It's the beginning, actually, of our spiritual life. If we don't have faith that this is worthwhile, we would not come to this process of devotional service. But there's a difference between small faith or fragile faith, komala shraddha, very komal, firm faith. And thus, we need to look at the development of our faith in our spiritual life as our most important consideration. If we want to reach perfection in anything in bhakti, it means we have to increase our faith. We would like to reach perfection through chanting. Our faith in chanting must grow steadily until it comes to firm faith, and then very rock steady firm faith. In the process of bhakti yoga, there is only one precondition. See, when you want to do yoga, you need to have some health. I remember yesterday I took a yoga lesson to increase some flexibility, which I need to sit for a long time. And I remember there was one exercise which we did where I was not qualified to do it. I first had to do other exercises to do it. Otherwise I would break my bones tear a muscle. In jnana there are some things you need to do. Jnana yoga, you need to be so renounced. Oh, it is practically not obtainable, this amount of renunciation, to enter this path. In bhakti, you only need faith. This means without faith, you cannot enter bhakti. I suppose. Haridas Thakur, look at him from the material point of view. He was an outcast. No one would talk to him. The Muslims thought he had left the Quran. That was the greatest sin. Capital punishment was the result of this. They tried to kill him, but when they were unsuccessful, the king said, he's a fakir, he's a mystic, you can't kill him anyway, so better we don't try again, you know. The Hindus would not speak with Haridas Thakur because they thought, if it's born as a Muslim, you know, we will contaminate ourselves. He was an outcast. He didn't have any qualifications to enter the Vedic planetarium, you know, the Vedic realm. No one liked him, except those people who could see his greatness, and they are always in a minority, such people. So, but he had such faith, you know. He was, imagine when he was tortured, he would just chant Hare Krishna, smiling. He didn't scream, bring me a doctor to tend my wounds, you know. Also, he had so much faith that I'm a chant and everything. I have nothing to fear. Imagine when he was led into the prison. The prisoners cried because they knew he was the next morning awaiting the most cruel tortures. I think some of you sometimes see movies, and now in modern movies, when they want to bring some into the movie, they will make a scene where someone is lashed with a whip. I've seen on the airplane, you know, you sometimes see what your neighbor looks at, or you become inspired, let me see something, and you know, make this whipping scenes, and you go like, oh no, I can't look at this, it's so cruel. The prisoners know next morning Haridas would be, they would kill him, but you know, it's a slow death. You don't die immediately. It gives pleasure to the punishment, just to let you die slowly. He had so much faith; he was not disturbed at all. Yes, tomorrow I will also chant. You know, like this. There's a verse about being qualified or disqualified for bhakti. It says, where the hunter's dharma's piety? Where was Dhruva's maturity? And he was a little boy. He was not mature. Where was Gajendra's knowledge? He was an elephant. He had no knowledge. Where was Kubja's beauty? She was deformed. She was a hunchback. Where was Sudama's wealth? He was so poor he couldn't feed himself properly. Where was Vidura's noble birth? He came from a Chudra woman. Where was Ugrasena's chivalrous strength? He was thrown by his own son in prison. But Lord Madhava doesn't look for material qualities. He didn't look for maturity in the Prince Dhruva. He didn't look for knowledge in the elephant Gajendra. He didn't look for beauty in the deformed Kubja. He didn't look for money in the poor Sudama. He didn't look for a good birth. He didn't look for Vela in Ugrasena. No, Lord Madhava is pleased only by devotional service and not by material qualifications. He only will look for one qualification, one thing only, that is your faith. If you have faith, he will allow you to enter the palace of bhakti. If you have no faith, you will have to stay before the palace of bhakti until you get faith. Ado, in the very beginning, the first step into the palace of bhakti is faith. And as we know, if you want to walk in bhakti, you have to have a second step and a third step. more developed faith, in other words. If you want to continue in bhakti, you have to have more developed faith. But the idea here is that the entrance ticket is Shraddha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed this to Haridas Thakur. He said, "You, Haridas, took birth in a lowly family to show us all that neither wealth nor prestige nor noble blood can win Krishna's heart." And then he says, "Haridas, only one who has strong faith in exclusive bhajan of the Lord is a great person, better than even the gods." If you want to become dear to Krishna, this faith needs to be strengthened. Now, in this Harinam retreat, in this holy name retreat, we need to look a little bit, what is this faith which we have to have? What is this ticket by which we will be checked when we can enter the palace of bhakti, or we have to wait before we get the ticket? That is very important. I remember when I was young, I was a Rolling Stones fan. I must admit this. I just liked the free life, you know. And I remember there was once a concert. In one concert I went for free, but there was another concert, and the music was starting, and there were severe controls everywhere. You couldn't climb fences or do things. You had to have a ticket, and I just didn't have a ticket. I didn't think of it to get a ticket. I remember I was standing outside. I need a ticket. And I forgot what it was so long back, but I forgot if I got inside or not, because that's not the point. The point is a ticket. I remember I went to the people and I said, "I'm poor, don't you see I'm young? I have no money, you know. I'm 12 years old. Can't you just, be a little fatherly to me and let me get..." No, ticket is required. I have no ticket. No ticket, no entry. So bhakti. What is exactly the faith we need to have in this holy name process? Or what, let us say, is the foundation of this faith? And when you hear this, I think you will be very, very happy. What is the foundation for good Naam Bhajan? The foundation for good Naam Bhajan is a certain conviction which is expressed in Harinam Chintamani. In this world, the chanter is convinced, in this world, only the name and the individual soul are spiritual. In the entire creation, there's nothing like the holy name. The holy name is the greatest treasure in Krishna's storehouse. We can imagine Krishna has so many treasures. He has mystic perfections. He has wealth. He has the impersonal Brahman waiting for those who want to enter there. But the holy name, Haridas Thakur says, is the greatest treasure in Lord Krishna's storehouse. The jiva himself is a spiritual entity, as is Krishna's name. Other than these two, all in creation is a product of the material elements. Bhaktivinoda Thakur thinks this is such a profound statement that he wrote a footnote to this, understanding that there's only two spiritual things in this world, you and the holy name. He said, in this material world, everything is illusory and lifeless. The jiva has become entangled in this material world by Krishna's desire. The jiva is the only spiritual entity within the material world. Krishna now descends into the material world in the form of his holy name, and on doing so becomes the second spiritual entity within matter. As such, there are only two spiritual entities in this world. You remember? The jiva and the holy name. You know everything. I know you are very qualified. If you enter your chanting in the morning, you should think, all right, I will join the two together. Me, the living entity, and the jiva, because everything else is just made out of matter. It has nothing to do with my, becomes a new word, which Prabhupada used very often, constitutional position. In homeopathic medicine, you know that everyone has a constitution that is a healthy constitution. And if they treat you, they have the idea, we will just remove what is unconstitutional, that is, what doesn't belong to you, which is foreign to you, that is the disease. This is also the subject of Ayurveda. You don't treat actually the disease in Ayurveda. You don't even care for the disease so much. You treat the constitution, the strong nature, the original health. And as that becomes stronger, then it pushes the disease away. So if you want to, this is a good idea for our chanting, if you want to progress, you have to treat yourself, that is, you are spiritual, you have to give yourself something spiritual to become strong spiritually, and that is the second spiritual entity in this world, that is the holy name. Can you understand? Your constitution is your spiritual. The constitution, what is a good word in Croatian for constitution? Constitutes Sitski, isn't it? Something like that. Constitutia. Constitutia. Your constitutia is your spiritual, your Krishna. And to nourish that, forget for a moment all how bad the other things are, how bad the world is, how bad your relationships to the world is, how bad your health is, how your mind is. Forget this. This is material. It's not your constitution. It's not your original constitution. Just remember something which belongs to you. That's the holy name. He's also like you. Totally spiritual. And nourish yourself in the presence of the holy name. And if you can just hear the holy name without any blockage between, without any clouds or any fog between it, no? That we heard a little while ago, then the holy name will give you so much strength. It's just like if you can get the sun without any cloud and any mist, if you can just be in the presence of the sun, oh, you will see everything very clear as in daylight. You will get warm. Some of you like a tongue. You will get a brown tongue. And you will get health also when you sit in the sun, not in the heavy sun, you know, between 11 and 4:30, that is a little, that's not for health. But if you sit later, earlier and later, oh, the sun will give you all the health you need. So this faith is required in spiritual life, that we know there's Krishna. I just must have the pure name. I just must be concentrated. I must be connected, and there should be no apparat, offenses and anattas between me and the holy name. And then it will work. It will give me strength. You should need this conviction. I remember in the old times, in the ashram of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he actually said to his devotees, I request you make it a test. When you're sick, you just chant more. Don't buy medicine. It was a leap of faith he required. And his devotees did that and became healthy without medicine. Medicine was not in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's life. The holy name was in. He said, everyone who wants to live in the ashram must chant a minimum of 64 rounds. That was the cure for everything. 64 rounds. And it worked. You know that here his movement was spreading like wildfire. That means not everyone was sick. You can't spread a movement with sick people. They were healthy by this faith in the holy name. Bhagavanath, look at me. Am I hearing this correctly? Yes, you are hearing this correctly. This was the old times. Faith in the holy name. I don't recommend that you go now home and throw away all your required medicines. I also do take vitamin C's. I don't think it's an antithesis. And I know in modern times our bodies are just weaker than in older times. You know, we have so much. Alone all this handy and mobile phones, it just makes your health weak to just have all these little monsters on the ear, or you know, the food which we eat and so on. It's all right to take medicine. That's not my point. I just wanted to give you an illustration how faith in the holy name was practiced in the old times in our tradition and how it worked.
Prabhupada said the same thing.
Oh, Maharaj, would you be so kind to share?
Excuse me for interrupting.
No, please.
But I was inspired by hearing also recalled a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, which I heard about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, where he's actually saying it's on first canto, 8th chapter, verse number 40. Talks about the natural way to live and comparing modern civilization to Vedic culture and the ideal way to live according to Vedic culture and how people used to live. And he actually said, if you are practicing Krishna consciousness properly and you are engaged in devotional service, there will be no need for any doctors and any medicine.
Really? Yeah.
And he said it with such authority that it, you know, after hearing that, I realized that, yeah, we're sick because we're not connected to our source.
That's
the source of all other deficiencies.
Krishna.
And Prabhupada made a really powerful point. So, and that lecture was in 1974. If you want to hear it, 1840. It's a beautiful lecture. And he just talks about natural life compared to what we are living now.
Got it. Thank you. I also remember in this connection that 2 years ago I had typhoid, and then a bridge pandit, a friend of mine, came by and said, I have the medicine for you. So I expected some you know, Ayurvedic medicine, but he gave me a mantra which I should chant. I know exactly what I'm doing. The mantra was three names of God. He said, when we get sick, that is what we do. We chant this mantra until the disease goes. We have this faith. Ananta, Shri Anantaya Namaha, Shri Govindaya Namaha, Shri, I forgot the last name, Achyutaya Namaha. And this they do until they get better. Revoye wrote a doctoral thesis about the spiritual experience. That would maybe a good addition, you know, second number. So the point here is not once again, it's not about curing diseases. This is not an anti-disease workshop. The idea is faith. When you have faith in the then that cures your material disease. So I got a little lost here. I talked about things I didn't want to talk. This is embarrassing, but it does happen. You need faith as an entry code. Yes, here we are. Second. Now, exactly in what should the faith be placed? Vishwanath Chakravarti says that there are two resting places of faith. Shraddha, he says, means to have firm belief in the purport of the scriptures related to bhakti. In other words, you should have faith in the shastras. The second, it also means the solemn, means exclusive desire to attentively follow the process of devotion as described in those scriptures. Sometimes I ask myself, what does this faith mean, you know? What feeling is that? What is faith psychologically? Patanjali rushes to our aid. He says, faith is the situation, the internal situation where doubt has been removed and a favorable attitude towards the object of devotion and the practice to attain it is there. Just look in your relationship. When you have faith in someone, you do not doubt any longer that his motives are all right, that his conduct is all right. You know he doesn't tell you one thing and behind his back he tells another thing to other people. If you have faith, your doubt is removed. I have faith. Whatever he does must be good. Even if you hear from someone outside something negative about this person, you think, no, it can't be. I have faith in him. And the second, I think, and you have also, this is the second thing, a favorable attitude. You like him. The object of your faith is lovable to you. So this is what we should look to in relationship to the shastras. We should look that we like the scriptures and we have no doubts in them. They must know. At the moment I can't understand everything, but they must know. The same to Krishna. I can't really understand him totally. He's God and I'm an ant. But you have this faith. He's nice. He's good. He's Krishna. When I had birthday, someone wrote me a birthday card. And I always remember this birthday card. With expressed such wonderful faith. It said, I was a black ant and a black knight on a black stone in a dark universe. But you found me. It was nice. It is actually a poem from Rumi. Rumi wrote this first, and then the one who wrote it on the card wrote it. It's Rumi's glorification of God. I was a black ant on a black stone. No one sees a black ant on a black stone. In a black night, whoa, you don't see at all in a black night. And in a dark universe, then you don't see at all, at all, at all. But still you, my Lord, found me.
Wow.
How good you are. Faith. You may not, I like this very much, this perspective, because a black ant is still a black ant. He can't look at the bright Lord and understand him. What will an ant understand of a person and his thoughts and so on? It's beyond the ant. But still he was found. So in the same way, we look at Krishna and we will not be able to understand everything because we are what we are, conditioned souls. But still Krishna cared for us and he found us. And the holy name found us. So now let us join the two together. The living entity, the chanter, and the holy name. Let us bring them together. No separation. Separation is not God. Separation is not at all God. And the separation starts when we are inattentive to the holy name. No? Then we are somewhere else. We are not with the holy name any longer. There is a difference between mere belief and faith. What is the Croatian word for belief? Yes, that word. Yeah, I remember this word, but I can't say it. It's for the advanced. What is it? Same idea. And then there is vera, faith. In the English you also have belief and faith. Belief is more a belief system, we say, core, your beliefs. It's a pattern, it's more an intellectual thing. And faith is something which is much, much deeper. And in the old times, we heard about a story where the difference is made very clear. It concerns two devotees, a first class brahmana and a cobbler who was working with shoes, a simple man. Once Narada Muni visited the cobbler, this brahmana, and the brahmana, as the story goes, had an interesting philosophical discussion with Narada Muni that said, when do you go next and see Lord Narayan? Narada Muni said, soon I'm going, after I have done here some business, I'm going to report to Narayan about the state of the world. Oh, said the brahmana, could you just ask him a question when you go and give me the answer? Yes, I can do, said Narada Muni. My question is, how long do I have to take birth before I go back to him? When exactly do I return? Okay, said Narada Muni, and he had one more person on his list to visit before he would return. It was a cobbler. So he talked to the cobbler, and the cobbler said at the end, are you going to see Lord Narayan soon? Yeah, yes, after you I'm going. Can you just do me a favor? Of course. Can you just ask him, when do I come back to him? Yes, I will ask him, and then when I come back, give you the answer. It will be very fast. So he went to Narayan, and they had the discussion. Narayan was sitting on a wonderful throne. There were servants around him. He was dressed with very wonderful golden ornaments, and he smiled. He already knew. So Narada Muni said, by the way, there are two of your devotees, they have questions. Yes, what are they? Said, that's this Brahmana. He says he wants to know when he will return, and there's a cobbler. Okay, said Narada, tell the Brahmana, after many, many births, he will be mature enough. But he's a good Brahmana, said Narada Muni. He does everything. Yes, and his faith is very common, very weak. You will see, you will see. And this cobbler, yeah, I know about the cobbler, said Narayan. Tell him after this birth he returns. Okay, said Narayan. And Narada, and went straight to the Brahmana. The Brahmana said very politely, how are you? How is your health? Then he said, did you ask him the question? Yes. Narada Muni said, after many, many births, what? That you saw Narayan. Tell me what he did when you saw him. So Lord Narayan had known that both the Brahmana and the cobbler were interested in him, and they want to know what does a person do. And he had said to Narada Muni before Narada went, listen, and they will both ask you what I did. Tell them I was just bringing an elephant through the eye of a needle. Do you know what is the eye of a needle? It's where the women all know this, but this should be brahmachari and men equipment also. When you something tears, you have a needle, and then you bring the thread through it. You don't buy immediately a new pen or a new dhoti, you repair it. You know, it's an eye of a needle. How do we say eye of a needle? See? Narayan said, I was just bringing an elephant through the eye of a needle. I was threading is the English word. So the Brahmana went here, asked, protestful, what did he do? Narada said, he was threading an elephant through an eye of a needle. Glupast, said the Brahmana. Nonsense. Get out of here. He was very frustrated. Narada only went to the cobbler. So the cobbler said, did you see him? Muni said, yes, and was interested how the cobbler would react. Did you ask him my question? Said the cobbler. Yes, Narada Muni. He said he would go back to him right after this birth. What? Then the cobbler. He just couldn't understand this. But he had faith. Then he asked, and what was he doing at that time? And Narada Muni says, now he will blow it. He was thinking, now he will blow it. Because who can thread an elephant through an eye of a needle? It's just not possible for the size. He was bringing, said Narada Muni, an elephant through an eye of a needle. Wow, said the cobbler. Now it was very simple for him to understand it, because he had this deep faith. He said, it's easy for him to do these things. He he has put a huge banyan tree. Banyan tree means in Calcutta is one which is 5 kilometers long in the botanical garden. He puts a huge banyan tree in a small, small seed. It's easy to bring a relatively small elephant through an eye of a needle. Very easy for him. He has so much faith. And this faith doesn't come from the brain. It comes just from a deep, deep conviction. My Lord is wonderful. And then you find your explanations and everything is possible. He loved him so much. Faith is more about love. This Brahmana did everything, studied everything, but his faith was not there. He didn't have an affectionate leaning towards the Lord. He was a businessman. He had just some belief. My dear devotees, do you believe in Krishna consciousness or do you have faith? Do you believe in the holy name or do you have faith in the holy name? Very good question. Don't answer it. I know the young people will all go like, I have, of course, the second one, you know. Let us wait. Let us watch you for a few years, 20 years, 30 years, then you will know. Do you believe or do you have faith? In other words, and we are looking for faith here, for Shraddha. You might ask yourself the question, wow, this is a difficult question. I want to think about it first before I say something. I'm sorry. I'm giving this lecture, but I must tell you very honestly. I hope that what I say is connected and makes sense.
We have faith in you.
But I'm losing my notes here. I don't know where everything is.
We all have faith.
Okay. I have to do something good here now. Give me just one. I'm looking for one. When you give a lecture, that's the worst thing which can happen to you if you lose your quotes. Where is the birthplace of faith? From where do you get this type of faith which is required? My dear devotees, the answer you have heard a million times, but let us look at it again. You can get faith only from those who have it. It's not this item, faith in the holy name, you can't get from materialistic people. It doesn't work. You need to go to devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an example. A beggar, in order to solve get a meal, cannot go to other beggars. He needs to go to people who have wealth. He needs to go to rich householders who have cooked something and beg from them. So we want faith. You can't go to people who are faithless. You have to go to people who have faith in the holy name. There is a verse in this which some of you know. Satam prasangam yamaviya samvido pavanti vidgana rasayana kata tachyo shanadash vapavaga bhaktmani shadharati bhakti anukramishyati. It's the Lord says, my pastimes are very pleasing to the ears. It's satisfying to the heart. when they are heard in the association of devotees. As a result of joyfully hearing these pastimes in such association, one quickly advances on the path of liberation. Passing through the stages of faith, Shraddha, the revelation of one's divine relationship with Krishna, Rati, and true love for him, Bhakti. In other words, if you are with devotees, then something happens to you which is called a non-verbal communication. You sit with them, and somehow the faith which is in their hearts passes into your own heart. They talk words, they sing, and they serve Krishna. But what you get really is the faith which they have, and with it a conviction, and with it an inner strength to follow that path. That is how important it is. You have to get this faith from faithful people. I want to give a material example of non-verbal communication. But I only know an example which it doesn't fit in this devotional community. Let's make it a little bit more clean, my example. I will not give you. There are different forms of non-verbal communication which happen through the, forgive me for a moment, the chakras. When you have a person who is you become influenced by persons on different levels. For instance, when you are with an intellectual who's all in his head, as we say, who has developed these higher energy centers, you know, you also like to talk like an intellectual. Have you noticed it? You try to choose your words and you try to really penetrate a subject and analyze it. When you are more together with a person who is just very rustic, very connected with his lower chakras, you also become a nature boy, or you know, you become simple and care only of pizza eating, and you know this also with devotees. There's some who are just, let's swim, you know, okay, let's swim, man. And you come out in this, you know, because these people are more connected with other energy centers. They're very strong on this. When you meet people who are extremely lusty, who have a lot going on in the chakra down, you also feel, you know, and so on. And when you meet with people who are very strong in the heart, whose heart chakra is very developed, you become very developed also. That's my secret psychological reason why I like the Belkanes. The people here are more with the heart chakra than they are in ice cold Germany. You can ask Charanga Thakur. He's suffering heart pains from the cold Germans, isn't it? There's a difference between the Dalmatian, Dalmatinsky, Osamas, you know.
Americans, too.
Americans, ooh, American. And this Russian, when I saw on the lake this dead person, and I asked, you know, I told you yesterday, I asked that the man who's the caretaker of the boats, we saw this person, he has not moved since 1 hour, and he's just floating with his head under the water. No one can stay with his head for 1 hour under the water. He said, oh yes, he's dead. Three days. Wow, that was heartless. You know. He's dead in 3 days.
We're hoping he comes back.
By the way, the Russians are also hard people. You see that when they just look as if they have faces carved out of stone. when you are together with them, you see they're very much hard people, especially the old culture. Russian old culture is all about the heart. All about the heart. Now it is becoming a little materialistically influenced. But it only looks like that. Maybe there was a practical reason, you know, the fishes also need to eat or something. Maybe I should joke like this.
That's the German part.
I'm sorry, this was a bad joke, I know.
Some German came out.
Yeah. So that's in Belkane, we have a heart, we have heart chakra. And that is good. Rashi also, you should go to the festivals there. You should, how the devotees, and then they start to chant, and wow, they open their hearts, it's so much heart energy, and then they also cry, everything is there, you know. But a very deeply rewarding cultural experience to go there. So, you need to go to devotees if you want to get devotion, and there, because that's where they are strong, and when you therefore you need to have a devotee association. And we all know this. When we don't have it, all of a sudden some ideas come in our mind, or sometimes we feel we want to hide from the devotees because it's not, we are different now, and so on. But you need devotees, and not just seeker devotees who just have seekers, or seekers good, you know. I also have one, but they must be in the heart of devotees. That's very important. Not just in the body devotees. It's already good to be in the body devotees, be dressed and so on. But it goes deeper. They must be in the heart devotees. Mm. That's very important. Such devotees we should look for. And then in their association our Shraddha is born. Mm. It's a very simple point, and I think we can understand it. And you will see after when we all say goodbye on Saturday to each other, you will know. We were together in this retreat, we were together in the 64 round stay. I unfortunately sometimes escaped from the 64 rounds and I didn't do it, but next year I'm going to do it, and so on. Or you will say there was an experience. I encourage you to keep contact. There are many retreats which we give, friendships are formed, and they keep on inspiring themselves on the level of the holy name. So this is what I wanted to, you know, I'm very determined to look for this one quotation for you. I really want to find this for you. Ah, yes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it very clear. There are conditions for charity. There are conditions if you want to engage in sacrifices. There are conditions when you want to do ritual bathing. It's not bathing in the atriya, it's like a Brahminical bath. Huh? And there are conditions to be fulfilled when reciting mantras. But for chanting the holy name, the only condition is
faith.
You know everything, faith. And this, therefore we do these japa retreats, so that our faith is enhanced, that we, therefore we go to the japa sessions of Gaurahari and Ojashvi to do the practice and see, my God, this is a good practice. It works. It changes me. I have seen that. I have a proof in my hand now. So, because, my dear devotees, let us make no mistakes. For the spiritual path, one needs strength. One needs strength to go on the path of Krishna consciousness. And this inner strength, not necessarily muscular strength, this inner strength of a devotee comes from his faith. That gives him the inner strength. Remember how he does. A day before his day, you know, when they took him out of the prison, pulled him out, but taking the chadar down from his chest so that everything was bare and the whip could bite into his back. You know, the day before, he had no thought about it. He was just chanting, he was preaching, the prisoners were asking him for blessings, he was giving them his blessings. The morning they took him out, he was joyfully smiling. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. He was not chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, someone that's coming. Oh. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Deep faith. What inner strength, Ananta Prabhu? Huh? This is inner strength. We must say, we have respect, the utmost respect. Inner strength comes from your faith. And this faith is again strength by the association of devotees. The text says, when we hear about Krishna, then we get this Shraddha. Not when we hear about pizza recipes. Or sometimes devotees think, I just go to devotees and talk like the newspaper talks. The devotees, and they think that will help them. That will not help you. You must, when you meet devotees, then it says in this verse, Satam Prasanga Mama Virya Samvidu. Virya, the word strength is there. Huh? My pastimes, my heroic pastimes, if you hear them, then you get Shraddha. Not if you do all kinds of other things in the devotee association. Dobro, that was the birthplace of faith. I thank you very much for listening, and we will discuss in the workshop now specifically how we can increase our faith in the holy name and what we can specifically do. We will actually practice this in our faith. Hopefully we'll grow like this. So I will ask now for questions and answers. I saw Chandramouli Maharaj and Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Without shampoo. Good. Tripathi, can I just have your wristwatch? I won't steal it. You can get it back. Yes. Yes, Maharaj.
It's on.
Thank you for the deep understanding of faith. I guess practically you hit on it, but I think just to kind of like go into this type of mentality that somehow maintains this doubt, and that is that we hear sometimes people have say, I have faith in Prabhupada, I have faith in my spiritual master, I have faith in the process, I have faith in the holy name, but look at me, I don't think I can do it. I don't have faith in myself. What is the basis of that type of thinking? Is there a reality to that? Understanding? Does it have any real understanding when you say, I don't have faith of all this, but still I don't have faith in myself?
That I can do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they give reasons why.
Yeah, then they give reasons. Have you understood what Maharaj said?
Yes.
I think it's a very deep point, very necessary that we look at this point. I was trying to deal with this question in this book, The Broken Names. The Vishvambara, the doubter, comes and says, I don't have faith in myself that I can do it. Do you sometimes feel hopeless about you? I also feel like that. You could say this is a sign of humility, which is said that even a qualified person thinks himself wretched. That's humility. But I don't want to escape through this door. I feel really good, disqualified. It's not humility. I can tell you what I do, because it's such a deep question. When I lose hope in myself, I have learned, I have this deep conviction that the success of my spiritual life does not entirely depend on me. I have really, really this experience that it depends on Krishna's mercy and on the mercy of Prabhupada, the mercy of Nityananda. And they have strong mercy. I think this, when we lose faith in ourselves, we may overlook this point. Our process is see, in India there is a lot of spiritual philosophy. One type of perspective looks at spiritual paths. There is the monkey way, that's the spiritual path, and the cat way. In the monkey way, the little monkey is hanging either under the monkey mother, or sitting on top of the monkey, and he has to somehow hold tight of the monkey by his own strength, the little monkey. And the cat way is here, the strong mother just takes the cat, and the cat is hanging there. The small kitten, we say. The small kitten is hanging in there. And, you know, they're not doing anything except for being in that place. You know, just being there. That's the only credit for the kitten. So, in the monkey way, where everything, where the security of the project is totally dependent on the little kitten, the little monkey, I'm sorry, many accidents are bound to happen, because the little monkey is weak by definition. The old monkey is strong, but he's not holding, the old monkey mother is not holding the baby. The baby has to hold on by itself. And there are many accidents. I have seen many times babies fall down clutch, and sometimes they don't rise again. But in the cat way, the strong carries the weak. So in bhakti, we really think a lot of this, that we need to put ourselves in the mercy of to the mercy of Krishna, and the mercy of Krishna is freely given to everyone except the arrogant. The arrogant and pride people don't get the mercy. It's the only someone who is humble and thinks himself fallen and doesn't defend this position, but he really understands it, not here but here, and he feels it, he gets the mercy. And that's why in Mahaprabhu, especially in this incarnation of Mahaprabhu, those who are humble souls, they can be fallen, they have a chance. Mahaprabhu's movement is full of outcasts. His main teacher is someone who was not respected by anyone. It's Haridas Thakur. He makes this point that in Kali Yuga, where anyways no one has such big qualifications as in previous ages, this humility is the only way. But if you blow it on humility, if you just are not humble and convinced of yourself, you just don't enter the areas of bhakti. It's closed for you. Of course, when you're proud, you will think, no, I understand it very well. You know, look at my verses. I know all the verses. No one knows like me here. And oh, look, I'm so old in spiritual life. 20 years. What do you know? But this is not the idea. A young person who is humble and takes for the process, and he can get the milast. I have very much faith that even if you don't have qualifications, as long as you can be humble and you can be real about it, and you are not a pretender, you know, then you do have, you have a chance at bhakti. Jiva Goswami says, in this age of Kali, Sankirtan is singing together the best process. If it is done according to the method of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the method? Trinada, please, and so on. You must be humble. And then he said, that is a qualification which is very easy for the people in Kali Yuga because they are so disqualified. But I think it's not so easy to be humble, because even though you are disqualified, you don't think so about yourself. Prabhupada said, even in Calcutta, he said, even the poorest man is proud of his 2 paisas. 2 paisas means less than 2 cents, you know, or 1 cent. It's so little that it doesn't appear even on the European currency, you know. But he's proud. I have 2 paisas. There's a beggar who sells only 1 paisa. I have 2. Not so bad. It's not so easy in Kali Yuga to be truly humble, because it's, again, it's not a belief, it's not an intellectual thing. Let's be humble, let's learn all the shlokas about humility, and you know, it comes from here, a deeper place. What is here? I was thinking of the spiritual heart. Yes. where it comes from. It comes from the heart. The heart, not as a sentimental concept, but where the Lord is and the soul is. That spiritual heart. Hare Krishna. That's the qualification for. In other words, you don't need to be so much convinced of yourself. Better you're not convinced of yourself, but you must be convinced of Krishna's mercy and the strength of his mercy. Then it works.
That's the kitten.
That's the kitten part. Yes, that's the kitten part. Maharaj, you know much better than me, and much more. I feel very like a fool like before you. But since you asked, I'm giving my best. The last question for today will be asked here by Ananda Vrindavan. Yes. Please wait for your microphone to come.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your from lecture. My question is related to the doubts. Is there any benefit of doubts? Can we make some usage of them? Because once I've heard from His Grace Krishna Kshatriya Prabhu that doubts are often in dialogue with faith, and they can help us increase faith and strengthen faith. So especially as some of us maybe are on the beginner stages and we have doubts, can we make usage, not just
According to Patanjali, doubt is a faculty of the intelligence. An intelligent man will raise doubts. You will be interested to hear that a lot of the this process of doubting is used in spiritual philosophy a lot. For instance, in the Vedanta Sutra commentaries by Baladev Vidyabhushana, he says there is a statement and then he says, now the doubt to the statement. And then the conclusion comes. I think another step, but ultimately the conclusion. So doubts are used here to bring out more of the truth. And it has definitely a place, just like speculation has a place in spiritual life. But there is a difference between what we call mental speculation and philosophical speculation. And I can best explain good doubt and not so useful doubt by talking about this. When you do mental philosophical speculation, you just want to find the arguments and you want to put them, you want to put the points to elucidate a point. It's philosophical. I know I found this quotation from Prabhupada in the Suhoda Swami had found this, and I read it and I was very convinced and talked at that time with devotees about it. You know, the person who does philosophical speculation, or you can ask, if you don't like the word, philosophical exercise, you know, he wants to find out the truth. But the mental speculator is usually going away from Shastra, going away from spirituality, and just is in his emotions and so on. So doubts also. I think it's good to use your intelligence and say, I have a question to this. How is this so? And then when the answer comes, or you find the answer somewhere, then you should say, okay, I can rest this question now. It is answered. I can rest this doubt now. Now let me look at the other point, and so on. I must tell you, Ananda Vrindavan, that in my approach to nowadays to our philosophy, I always allow myself to question, why is this so? And I don't say it is so. And when I have this question, why is this so? And does it really work? And under which circumstances it works? I can find answers which I wouldn't think if I just say TK, the moment I hear anything and accept it like this. But it's very important, you should, in this good way of doubting, you should really try to get answers. Sometimes people have doubts where they really don't want to have an answer, but they want to have an answer to their own thing. Like sometimes people come to the Japa retreat, and then when it's smaller, I ask them, so what is you tell us a little bit about you. And then I had one time a person who said, I think this will not work for me. I doubt that I will be able to really chat. And I said, here's your money back. Goodbye. You should spend it on more than things where you have faith in. because then you can make an experience, not when you doubt from the very beginning. You please, maybe you buy some literature, spiritual literature, to get your doubts. The person was, can I stay? I said, I have to think about it. The next morning the person said, so what is the decision of the captain? Can I stay on board or do I have to go? I said, of course you can stay. I just wanted to make a point. If you don't have this, you know, if you have doubts, you can have doubts, but if you just say it will not work, you know, and you hope it will not work. I know, I went to the Jaga retreat, I tried Mona, I tried to increase my rounds, it didn't work. If you have this doubt, it will not work for you. Yeah. It's a fact. Mm. It's a fact. You need to have this little, you can have, you should have questions, and how will it work? And when you get the myth, the answers, I mean, from the scriptures, you must try, and then you can see. Only then you can see. Hare Krishna. By the way, I want to say, no, it's not a point to say this. Good. So now, please don't think that the Japa retreat is over with the 64 days. We are now preparing ourselves to go even deeper. Today we will address the most core questions in chanting. So we need you with your full attention. Bhavanandini will just give us a small orientation how we will run this day, not very long.